Stop wasting time searching for deals on the guns and gear you want. Let Gundelio do the work for you. Download Gundelio for free, enable notifications, and start saving. You'll find hot deals, exclusive offers, and more. Trigger the deals. Gundelio.
All righty, lock and load, saddle up. It's time for Gun Talk. We're going to be talking about guns for the next 3+ hours. This is our chance, your chance, basically to sound off. If there's something on your mind, this is your place. You can give me a call. We'll talk about it. Obviously, we talk about, well, guns, what kind of guns to buy. That's the number one question we get all the time here. By the way, I'm Tom Gresham. I'm the host. Because I created this thing, like, oh my gosh, a quarter of a century ago, 25 years ago. We've been on the air more than 25 years now. Unbelievable. The most popular question we get here, most common question we get, is I'm thinking about buying a gun for self-protection. What should it be? We can tackle that. If you're thinking about buying a gun, we'll do that. If you're wanting to know about a particular cartridge, caliber, gauge, model, give me a call. We'll talk about it. And if there's just a story you want to share, we call those range reports. If you've been out shooting something, you've been out hunting something, you bought a gun, you went to a store, you found something cool, or you saw something interesting, it's all range reports of a sort. And we like to share those too. Basically, if you're new here, this is kind of like sitting around the campfire and we're swapping stories and asking questions and sharing information. And sometimes I have the answers. Sometimes I don't and ask for help. And I got a lot of help from the people here. Sometimes I get it wrong. And that's okay too, because nobody's right all the time. I am most certainly not one of those radio talk show guys who thinks he knows everything. I know some things. Most of what I know, I just am passing along because I'm a sponge. Because I hang around with really smart, knowledgeable, experienced people. And that is especially true when it comes to self-defense training. I am not a ninja. I was not a ranger in SEAL Team Delta. But I have trained with all those guys. And I'm talking about it. Yes, Rangers, SEALs, Delta, CIA, Secret Service, NARCS, SWAT. I've done firearms training with all those types of units. And I just absorb and I pass it along to you in hopes that we can all be just a little bit safer, a little bit more responsible, take care of ourselves and our family, not trying to take care of the world. Not my job. People say, well, would you intervene to save a stranger? Probably not. It shocks some people. What? That's irresponsible. Really? Number one, you don't know what's going on. You see an altercation. Number two, you don't know who's involved. You don't know who started it. The person who was doing the beatdown may have been the initial victim and got the upper hand. Didn't think of that, did you? The person doing the beatdown could be a police officer, a plainclothes police officer. That would be awkward if you decide to get involved in that. Also, when you decide to insert yourself into a physical altercation with your firearm, there's a chance you could be shot by one, the bad guy, two, another good guy, three, a cop. I'm not liking these odds at this point. I don't want to open the door to find out what's behind door number three back there. When, in fact, my responsibility is to me and my family. That's not to say there's not a situation where I wouldn't choose to get involved. I probably would. I don't know what it would be. But I think about it a lot, and my default position is going to be call 911, be a good witness, get video if you can, and be prepared to get engaged if you absolutely have to, okay? But these are the kind of things we can certainly talk about. If you have a thought on that, if you think I'm wrong, if it's not your personal choice, by all means, give me a holler. The number here is 866-TALK-GUN or TOM-TALK-GUN. You may have noticed that we just had an election. Actually, we're still in an election. Depending on who you talk to, the race certainly for president has not been called. I mean, it's been called by the media, but the media doesn't make the decision. Is it over? Not officially. Realistically, it may be, depending on, you know, your political persuasion, perhaps. I don't know. I will tell you this. The election starts today. I'm talking about the 2020 election, not 2024, not 2022, the 2020 election, because here's the deal. And we're going to be talking about this a lot later on in the show today. There are two, and this is really unprecedented as far as I'm aware, two runoff elections for Senate in the state of Georgia. Both the Georgia senatorial seats are up. Runoffs. Unbelievable. If the Democrats win both of those Senate seats, the count will be 50-50 in the Senate. And if Joe Biden is in fact elected president, and Kamala Harris is in fact the new vice president, and if the Senate is 50-50, the vice president of the United States breaks the ties. That means it's going to break to the Democrat side. It's going to break to the Biden-Harris side. It's going to break to the gun ban side, the gun control side. The assault weapons ban will come back. They could and possibly would get rid of the filibuster in the Senate. If that happens, the Protection and Lawful Commerce and Arms Act could go away. That is the golden BB that the gun control people are looking for. Because with that, they can get rid of gun making in the United States. If they can hold gun makers legally, financially responsible for the misuse of a perfectly safe and highly regulated product, because somebody misuses their product, they get held responsible for that, then they won't be able to make guns anymore because they can't get insurance and they'll have to close their doors. That's how important, taking it all the way back, that's how important the two races are, the runoffs in Georgia. We'll be talking a good bit about that, because if you ever thought, well, gee, what can I do? This is going to be one, because I don't care where you live. Certainly you've got to be calling all your friends in Georgia, getting them on board. But you also, and we'll talk about this, I think we all probably need to start tossing a few bucks in to help. Imagine if, I don't know, 250, 300, 400,000 listeners to this show all put $10 in. We could do stuff, couldn't we? We'll have more details about that as we go along. We do have another giveaway. We're giving away some cool stuff this month. I'll have some information about that. But basically, we're going to be open lines for a little while. If there's something on your mind, whether it's the election, a gun you bought, a gun you almost bought, some ammo that you couldn't find. Oh, yeah, I had a great conversation with my UPS driver the other day about ammo as he delivered some more to me. He said, I can't find any. I said, well, let me tell you how to find it. I'll tell you that when I come back. 866-TALK-GUN. Be right back.
Find the freedom to go where you want, not where you're told. With the feature-loaded FN-503, a slimline 9mm tailor-made for concealed carry. And with its best-in-class trigger, soft recoil, and extended mag, it promises superior control, comfort, and consistency for those seeking an everyday carry with uncompromising reliability. The FN-503. Carry the future from the innovators behind the world's most battle-proven firearms. Visit FNAmerica.com to learn more.
It's time for a thanks giveaway. Grand prizes include the Daniel Defense DD M4 V7 in 5.56 NATO or the Brownells BRN 180S Gen 2 Complete Upper in 300 Blackout, paired with a custom double star lower receiver with strong arm pistol brace for easy compact storage. Eight first prize winners will receive either a Hodgdon product voucher or a gift certificate to Timney Triggers. Enter now through December 4th at guntalk.com/win.
For more than 70 years, Timney Triggers has been enhancing the shooter's experience. Whether it's a local competition, a day at the range, or even the hunt of a lifetime, setting the standard in aftermarket triggers, Timney is now producing more than 170 models of triggers for bolt-action rifles, shotguns, AR rifles, and semi-automatic rifles. Proudly made in the USA since 1946. Find your new trigger at TimneyTriggers.com.
I mentioned that we give things away around here, and we do. We do a lot of giveaways, actually. We have a new, brand new one. This is the Thanks Giveaway. We come up with these crazy names. Thanks Giveaway. Hey, we're giving away cool stuff. Grand prize number one is Daniel Defense DDM-4 V7 in 5.56 NATO. This is a very cool rifle. The Daniel Defense DDM-4-V7. 16-inch barrel, mid-length gas system. This is an AR, by the way. For smooth and reliable cycling, a free-floating MFR 15.0 handguard with M-lock attachment technology and an ambi grip and rip charging handle. Grand prize two. We're giving away lots of stuff. Let's see. Brownells BRN. That's, oh, another AR. Holy cow. We're giving away two ARs. This one in 300 blackout from Brownells. Very cool stuff. Let's see. Grand prize one through four. This is, oh, first prize is one through four. Timney Trigger gift certificate. Then we're going to give away Hodgson powder product vouchers. It goes on and on. Guntalk.com/win. Just go to guntalk.com/win. You can enter. And if you've entered past contest, you're not entered into this one. You have to go back and enter each time. Guntalk.com/win. W-I-N. Let's go to the phones. Line four, Jim's with us out of Nebraska. Jim, what's on your mind? Marlon, what you looking for?
A 444.
Nice. I like them.
I was wondering, now that Ruger owns Marlin, who do I call to find out what serial? I want the serial number for the last 2 years of rifles that have the faster twist, barrel twist.
Probably. There's nobody available right now to call because Ruger just bought them and they don't even have them. I mean, they're still moving product, or not product, they're machinery and everything else. It's going to be 6 to 12 months before Ruger really has a handle on Marlin. There is, however, a Marlin Firearms Collectors Association. If you want to go online to marlin-collectors.com, that's marlin-collectors.com. If you ask a question there, these are like these super involved people, and they'll go, oh, yeah, that's this to this, and they'll know.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Good deal. Glad to help out. Let's see. Line two. Joe is in Eagle Point, Oregon. Hey, Joe, legal attachments that you can put on your Mossberg Shockwave. Oh, baby. What do you got? Do you have one of these guns?
So, yeah, I bought the Mossberg Shockwave 12-gauge, and it's not really that great of a shotgun by itself when you first buy it because handle, the grip that's on it.
Yeah.
But it's for, you know, bedroom gun self-defense. And I was wondering if it is legal in the state of Oregon, if you know this, to put a shoulder assist on it.
Well, the Shockwave is this weird category of it's not a shotgun. It's something else, like an other thing.
Yeah.
If you put a shoulder, a regular stock on it, then you're going to have a short-barreled shotgun.
Which is illegal, yeah.
It's not illegal, but you'd have to pay the $200 federal tax and register it as though it were like an NFA item. I got another way around this.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm going to say, don't you?
I'm not sure, really.
buy a shotgun.
Yeah, I got one of those. The Shockwave 26 inches from barrel to end of grip.
Yeah, you know, and here's another way to look at it. Okay, what is the problem? What's the issue you're trying to solve? Is it just harder to shoot well?
You can't aim it.
I thought that's where you're going. I got a solution. Aha!
Buy a shotgun.
Nope. Put a laser on it.
That's a good idea.
Now you can aim it. Once you do that, problem is solved, man. It's over.
That's
it's done.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, stick a laser on that thing. Now you're shooting, because you're shooting these from the hip anyway, right?
Yeah, basically. I mean, you could put it out in front of you, but
I want to see the guy that puts it in front of his face and pulls the trigger. Take him to the emergency room, right?
Yeah, no
with a broken nose. Yeah, no, seriously, yeah. Put a laser on it. Now you got your aiming device.
Yeah.
It works great. It's fast. It's simple. You can keep your eyes on the threat. That is really, for me, I'm not a huge fan of the Shockwave as it comes, but the moment you put a laser on it, it becomes a seriously good tool.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that.
Good deal. Well, I appreciate it, Joe. Thank you for your call, sir. Jim says, yeah, and you can shoot around corners. Well, only if, you know, you shine the laser into a mirror, which goes around the corner, then the shot will follow the same path, right? Wait, what? Let's go talk to John in Fargo, North Dakota on one. Hey, John, you're on the air. What are you talking about here?
Afternoon, General Gresham. Well, I'm shaking my head, but a quick side note, Jim, go buy one of those Streamlight TLR light laser combos.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
To me, that's a better hookup.
Even better. You got your light and your laser. Good to go. Yeah, good idea.
Bingo. So, you know, today as a gun owner, you know, even though the fat lady hasn't totally sung yet, I'm scratching my head. There's 100-odd million of us, correct?
Roughly, yeah.
Okay. And how many people voted in the election? About, what,
160-ish?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if we'd have just voted on one issue and one issue alone and held our nose, even if we didn't like the Donald, we should have kept the Donald in there because we know one guy is likely to let us keep things the way they are gun-wise. Maybe if we're lucky, progress. And another guy who probably won't be in office very long because he'll be replaced by the girl is going to come after us every turn of the corner.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, Biden is a gun control
lackey. So when it comes to these runoffs, gun owners, y'all need to listen to the general. Get off your keister and get out there and make sure that we hold the Senate because that is, by default, going to be our only hope.
It really is. And we're talking about the two, believe it or not, two runoffs in Georgia. And people are going to say, well, I can't vote in Georgia. Yeah, but you know what? Anybody can write a check for $10 or click on the box or make a donation or do that thing and get involved, and it really is going to be R's or D's. It's Republicans or Democrats. If the Democrats win both seats in Georgia, both Senate seats, then they control the U.S. Senate, and they control, let's see, Supreme Court and federal court justices, their confirmations. Also, they could get rid of the filibuster. They could pack the Supreme Court. There's no end to the mischief and mayhem that they could create, and now we're down to just these two. I was thinking about this, John, and thinking about everybody understands politically, everybody understands this is for all the marbles. These two races, this runoff is for all the marbles. And so they can pour all their money into it. So if you are a Tom Steyer or a Michael Bloomberg or any of these guys, you say, well, I could afford to put $100 million. I'll put $100 million. Me too. I'll put $100 million. I would not be surprised. This is going to sound insane. I would not be surprised if between these two races, between the two parties, we see $1 billion spent on these two races.
I would not argue that one, Tom. And, you know, again, there's 100-odd million of us out here in the country. If every one of us kicks in a tenner or a 20, if mm-hmm. nothing else, we're going to give them a fair fight.
It's amazing. Well, you know, I mean, people say, well, how much money is that? It's a lot of money. I mean, throw away the 100 million gun owner figure because we know that a lot of them are not going to. Well, they didn't vote on the basis of the Second Amendment or their gun rights. A lot of them voted against their gun rights, and you know, and they were weirdly proud of it. But if you took 10 million of us, and we each put 10 or 20 bucks in, that's $100 to $200 million, if I do my math correctly. That adds up. You can actually do stuff with that. Now, you know, who knows? Maybe there's some conservative billionaires out there who would like to get involved, although they don't seem to want to, for whatever reason, spend their money. You know what it is? I actually know what's going on here. The billionaires on the right tend to be like everybody else on the right, which is they don't want to tell people how to live their lives. Whereas the folks on the left, they live to tell everybody else how to live their lives. And so those billionaires will spend a lot of money to help force people to live their lives, because, you know, we, the people, are just too stupid to know how to live our lives, and we must be told by the elites what we're supposed to do. So they will spend a lot of money on these campaigns, and we on the right sit here and say, well, I'm not going to tell people how to live their lives, and we lose. It's frustrating. John, thank you for your call. I appreciate that, sir. You're going to be hearing so much. We got 2 months before the vote on the runoff elections in Georgia. You're going to be hearing so much on this. like I said, the money that's going to be spent is going to be pretty insane. Let's see, I'm looking at some dates here. The election will be January 5th. Voters can request absentee ballots now. Those ballots won't be sent out until after November 18. Voters in Georgia have until December the 7th to register to vote. So if you're in Georgia or you have a friend or a relative or anybody in Georgia, they can register. And a lot of them, believe it or not, there still are a lot of gun owners who are not registered to vote. And then early voting for the runoff is going to start on December the 14th. So we have a number of dates to pay attention to. I realize that when you don't live in Georgia, you're going to say, why do I need to hear this? Why? Because this is seriously what's going to determine so much. The Democrats retained control. They lost seats, but they did retain control of the House. Now, the blue wave most certainly did not happen. But, and don't think for a minute that Pelosi's going to be unseated. I don't think so. She's a pretty savvy political player. Although she will have to bend even more to AOC and that wing of the party. So, the blue wave did not happen. But what we have is probably Biden-Harris win. The Democrats maintain control of the House, and then if they get control of the Senate, it's Katie bar the door. They really can slide anything through they want, short of it being unconstitutional. And this is where, holy cow, are we ever glad that Justice Barrett is on the Supreme Court. That's going to be huge. We are in the process of filing, we, being the Second Amendment Foundation and some other groups, a bunch of lawsuits, trying to get them all lined up to head to the Supreme Court. Now's the time. We'll be talking about that when we come back. There's a strategy at work here, and we'll see if we can lay that out for you. Our number is 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. Don't go far. We're going to be right back. Hey, welcome back to Gun Talk. Tom Gresham here. If you'd like to join us, the number is 866-TALK-GUN, or just call Tom, that's me, Tom Talk Gun. It's easier for me to remember that. I mentioned as we went to the break, there is a plan in place. And, I mean, well, let me back up. Justice Barrett now on the Supreme Court changes things, changes the balance. Last year, the Supreme Court turned down 10 gun rights cases, would not accept them. The thinking was, those on the court who wanted it couldn't depend upon Chief Justice Roberts. That balance has changed now, and so the plan is to let's get some cases going there so we can get some precedent set and shore up some things. Joining me right now to talk about that plan and what's going on with a most recent case out of New Jersey, Adam Kraut joins us. He is a gun rights attorney licensed before the United States Supreme Court, as well as a lot of other places. Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon, Tom. How are you?
I am well. So how did I do with that synopsis? I mean, last year we got turned down on 10 different gun rights cases, and now we have a different court.
Correct. Yeah. No, I think you did pretty good on that.
Okay. So what's the plan?
Well, I don't know if I want to show my whole hand here, but
you don't have to. You can give us a peek at least.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as you guys might be noticing, we at FPC, along with the Second Amendment Foundation and some various local groups, have been starting to file a lot of lawsuits challenging a variety of areas that we expect and we're hopeful that the Supreme Court will take up and start giving us some decisions on. Probably caught on, one of those areas is, you know, carry outside of the home, because that seems to be an area where there is a lot of dispute as to whether or not, from certain people anyway, there's some dispute as to whether or not the Second Amendment actually protects that.
It seems weird to us to think the Second Amendment would not protect carry outside the home, but of course, the wording in the Heller decision has given at least an opening for those who say, oh, no, that was only for inside the home. It didn't actually say that. But if you squint hard and you want to slant things that way, you can make a weak case for that. So I guess what we're trying to do is get some more decisions that shore up what it really means.
Yes, in part, and we're also trying to get the court to address some of the various just topical areas on their face. You know, to some extent, that does include, you know, dissecting what Heller says maybe a little more clearly in areas where there's some dispute as to what it says. But I would point out, and, you know, as our complaint, you know, clearly illustrates, Heller does talk about what there is, and that's the, you know, carrying case of confrontation. And that certainly would extend to outside the home, because let's face it, you know, confrontations do exist outside of the home. And the right to self-defense is a natural pre-existing right. Why on earth would that be limited to just solely with inside your house?
So what exactly is this case you filed in New Jersey?
So the New Jersey case challenges two things. It challenges, the real basic form is it challenges the criminal statutes, because in New Jersey and some other states for that matter, but particularly New Jersey, it's unlawful to carry a firearm outside of the home without a permit, and that's under pain of criminal penalty. So there's really two ways you can skin a cat, in theory. One is you have the criminal statutes declared invalid and unconstitutional, and then the permit requirement doesn't matter. Alternatively, New Jersey also requires with its permits statement from the individual seeking a permit as to the reason they need it. So the courts have said repeatedly in New Jersey that self-defense is not acceptable. It's an incredibly subjective standard. It's a very high bar for people to meet, and let's face it, most people are just precluded outright on their face from it. So the other option would be then for the court to strike down the subjective standard that people, you know, seemingly can't meet, and then it would require that the permits be issued. The criminal statutes would then, in theory, still stay, so it would just be a matter of now you need to apply for a permit, and you would be able to carry outside of the home.
So in New Jersey, they want you to state why you need to carry a gun outside of the home. And self-defense, protecting yourself and your family, is not good enough. I gather that maybe if you carried a whole lot of cash, that would be a factor. I mean, it's like we're going to protect money more than our lives.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is one of the things that they do look for. And those, you know, if you look, even the security guards and armed guards for armored cars still have to apply for the permit and provide a reason for it. And unfortunately, it seems that cash is one of those factors that they look to and might actually grant a permit for, rather than just simply, you know, even people who have had documented threats have been denied permits.
Oh, right. Yeah. They say, well, the threat is documented, but it's not exactly immediate. You know, he's not banging on your door as you are applying for this. This is going to sound weird. Are there other constitutional rights that you have to apply for and provide justification before you can exercise them?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, the closest parallel off the top of my head that I could potentially draw, and I don't even think it's at all related, would be something along the lines of the First Amendment context, where you need to acquire a permit to hold a gathering in a public area. Mm-hmm. But they're not even relatable, because you look at the criteria for that in time, places, and manners restrictions. It strikes me that this is a very far outlier from any other constitutional right that we talk about. And the justifiable need standard in New Jersey, I was blanking on it earlier, it's called justifiable need, is, as I said earlier, you know, an incredibly subjective standard where the individual is really at the mercy of two different authorities. They either have to apply with the chief of police if they live in a township or a district where the local police are the ones who control, or they have to apply to the state police. And that's just the first layer. Ultimately, it's the Superior Court of New Jersey that decides whether or not the permit should be issued. So even if the chief of police or the state police say, yes, you can get this permit, it's up to the judge, and the judges almost always deny these permits.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that this is a case from the Second Amendment Foundation and the Firearms Policy Coalition, FPC. And these two gun rights groups are actually working together and then often working with state organizations in the states they're working with to move forward. Are we in a situation where it's ripe for us to move forward on a lot of these because of the makeup of the Supreme Court?
That's my analysis of the field is it's a good time to start looking at issues that are out there and determining which ones might be favorable for the court to take up. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some pills are easier to swallow than others. So, for instance, something like carry outside the home, when you juxtapose that to Heller versus saying going and outright attacking the NFA and saying that, you know, machine guns are constitutionally protected. You could certainly bring the lawsuit. I think I know, as far as the courts and the way that they're going to look at things, which one stands a better chance of getting a favorable decision.
There's strategy involved, and I mean, I get to occasionally hang around with you really smart Second Amendment lawyers, and you're actually civil rights lawyers in this, because there's a strategy and a building block system that goes into all of this. And I mean, just my take, and I understand there are things you can't say, but I think the time is right and we need to be moving forward. I'm really glad to see that we are. Adam, how do people keep up with what you're doing? Because I know that you do use social media and you do appear a lot of places.
Sure. Are you asking about me specifically or
yes.
More FPC?
More you right now.
Sure. So you can on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, it would be @TheAdamKraut. And that's just because Adam Kraut was taken, so I had to do something to kind of set myself off. So any of those would be a good place to follow. And, you know, I try to provide updates as to what we're up to at FPC and, you know, what we're cooking up with other groups.
Very good. We'll do that. And, yeah, and for those who are trying to spell this, it's K-R-A-U-T, Adam Kraut.
Like sauerkraut.
Like sauerkraut. There you go. Well, look, if you would, please keep us posted, because I know that there are more things coming, that, as I say, more in the pipeline. And just thank you for everything you're doing. I mean, you are a gun rights guy. You're a gun guy first before you were a gun rights guy. You're a shooter, Eagle Scout, you know, NFA guy and everything else. So you come to this, as we say, honestly.
Yeah, I would like to think so.
Adam, again, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. All right. 866-TALK-GUN. We're open lines now. Best cartridge, best caliber for carrying for self-defense. I was looking through an old book just a little while ago. Interesting what we were saying 40 years ago versus now. What's your take on it? 866-TALK-GUN.
Striking out on your gun search? Visit galleryofguns.com for inventory updated daily. Thousands of in-stock guns, a weekly gun giveaway, and access to multiple dealers in your area. Sign up to receive email alerts when new guns are stocked. Plus, every new gun purchased at Gallery of Guns is covered by the Guaranteed Lifetime Replacement Program. Visit galleryofguns.com. That's galleryofguns.com.
The three-position binary firing system Gen 3 trigger from Franklin Armory is now available for your 10/22 rifle. The 22C1 trigger offers three positions: 1, safe; 2, 1 round per pull; and 3, 1 round on pull and 1 round on release. The most fun you can have with a 22. This easy-to-install trigger upgrade offers a smooth trigger pull and positive reset on release phase. Find your 22C1 trigger at franklinarmory.com.
Thompson Center introduces the TC Compass 2 and TC Compass 2 compact hunting rifles, featuring a threaded muzzle and new generation 2 trigger system with a crisp light pull for that legendary accuracy in the field. Available in popular calibers, the TC Compass 2 is a feature-rich rifle packed with value, and the adaptability of the TC Compass 2 compact is perfect for a broad range of hunters and shooters. Make the shots that count. Visit tcarms.com.
I tell you, I was looking early this morning through a copy of No Second Place Winner. It's an old book, small book, written by Bill Jordan, who is he was an incredible shot with a revolver, did demonstrations fast as lightning, 6'7", big, tall, lanky, slow-talking Southern boy, border patrolman. He would literally, okay, this is going to be hard for you to imagine, and it's one of those deals of how good are some people, they're so much better than you could ever imagine. In his demos, he would draw his .357 Magnum revolver, and from the hip, he would shoot 5 and 10 grain aspirin tablets. Aspirin tablets from the hip, not using sights. He was blazing fast, but then he used to say his mom was as fast as he was. Funny story about that. I may relate to you at some point. But in his book, and I love the title, it's one of the best titles, because it's about gunfighting. And the title of it, I'm looking at the, actually looking at the copy right there, No Second Place Winner. He says, because in competition, you can finish second. In a shooting match, you can finish second. In a gunfight, there really is no second place winner. You win or lose. That's all there is. And he had been in a lot of gunfights. But what was interesting to me was, in his chapter about calibers, cartridges, and it was almost all revolver, just almost passing reference to the .45 ACP and the 9mm. And his comment on those was, yeah, but they only really are useful if you can use lead wad cutter type bullets or semi-wad cutter bullets, and then they don't feed reliably. And then I went and looked, and this was published in 1965. Okay, that's kind of where we were at the time. It was revolvers. And in your semi-autos, you were shooting full metal jacket ammo, so it would feed. That is, in fact, the reason that the 9mm got such a bad reputation for self-defense. It's because we were shooting full metal jacket, non-expanding bullets in it. And the .45, same thing. It was better, but not fabulous. I mean, it was better by virtue of making a bigger hole, because it was a .45 caliber hole, as opposed to a .35 caliber hole in the 9. And then he's saying, you know, the .357 Magnum is really good. The .38 Special, not so good. He said, but what we really need, remember, time check on this one, 1965 was published. It was written in 63, 64. He says, what we really need is a .41 caliber, going about 200 grain bullet going roughly 1,200, 1,300 feet per second. Well, that was about the time, right after he wrote that, that the .41 Magnum was introduced. And one of the loads for that basically recreated that 210 grain bullet going 1,300 feet per second. Now, fast forward from that 50 years to now, what do we have? Well, here's how the picture's changed. We have much better ammo and much better bullets. And don't confuse ammo and bullets. Don't confuse cartridges and bullets. The bullets are the projectiles, and they simply expand now. We have good expanding ammo for 9mm, 40, which we didn't have at the time, 45. And then, of course, there's the 10mm semi-auto, which actually, when you think about it, look at it, that's kind of the 40 caliber that he was looking for, or a 41 caliber, if you will. Interesting, huh? 10mm. And then, you know, we got the 40, which is the 10mm short and wimpy. Okay, I love to say that, but actually the 40 is a good caliber. It's actually a really good defensive caliber. Smaller guns, thinner guns, semi-automatic. Our selections are so much better. You're not having to carry a 6-shot revolver. You can carry a 15-shot semi-automatic that is smaller and lighter and has more ammo, and the ammo really works. What are you carrying? What choices did you make? 866-TALK-GUN. Back with you here, Tom Gresham. It's Gun Talk. By the way, if you want to check us out, guntalk.com. I am at Gun Talk on both Twitter and Parler. If you haven't checked that out, just look for me as at Gun Talk. And of course, you can find our videos. We have thousands and thousands of videos pretty much wherever you get streaming video. Certainly, the Gun Talk Facebook page is a great place to go. And also, of course, let's see, YouTube, Roku, Amazon Fire, it just goes on and on. Wherever you get your video streaming, if you look, there'll be a Gun Talk channel, or they'd like to call it an app, there you can load up. All right, 866-TALK-GUN. Bruce is called in from Virginia City, Nevada. Hey, Bruce, I understand you were a Glock guy? What is this?
Oh, I'm still a Glock guy. I'm a Glock guy for as long as they've been around, retired law enforcement. But in this last year, I've been talking with an old friend of mine who's 85 and still an active shooter and can still outshoot a lot of folks. Uh-huh. And he swears by cars. He has a 9mm small frame car, all stainless. Mm-hmm. And he up talked it so much that I ended up buying one of the micro 3-inch barrels, because okay. That was what I could find. And and I like it in 40 Smith & Wesson. So I bought the mid-sized and now the full-size.
Now, is this a double-action only?
It's a double-action only. It's a lot like a Glock, and he and I argue back and forth over this. The biggest difference is it has like a camming action in the trigger.
Yes.
So it's a long, steady pull every shot, more like a double-action revolver.
You took the words out of my mouth. To me, the car feels like a really good double-action revolver, and I will tell you, I like them a lot.
Yeah, they're good guns. I mean, they're a little heavy. They're single stack, yep. So you don't have the huge amount of ammo. But if Biden gets his way and starts taxing high capacity magazines, you know, it's going to be a good thing to have a single stack, I guess.
So why did you decide to go with the 40?
Actually, I was looking for a 9. I carried 40s in law enforcement, LOPs. So I could interchange magazines between the guns.
Right.
I was actually looking for a 9 in the car, but I found a 40. And you know how things are now, you got to get what you can find because there's not much around. A couple of times, and it's so small. The first one I got, the MK-40, they call it.
Right, it's tiny.
But it's all right, and I shoot it pretty well. And then since I've gotten the K-40, which is the 3.5-inch barrel, which is really a nice-sized gun.
Concealable,
shoots well, nice sights.
That's kind of a sweet spot, I think, for that size gun.
Right, and then that's just because I saw one on Gun Broker, and I didn't have one, and I had a little money. I bought the what's called the T-40, which is a 4-inch barrel and a bigger grip. 7-round magazine, and that's a fairly big gun, but it's nice, and it shoots well, too.
You're as bad as I am. You're like a self-enabler. You subscribe to the might as well theory of gun buying, right?
Well, I go all in. You know, when it was Glocks, it was all in on Glocks. I mean, I still have other stuff too. Like I said, Glocks. I bought a 19X Glock last year. That's the first 9 I'd bought in years of any caliber, of any manufacturer, and I really like that too.
Were you able to get some extra mags for your cars?
They come with. They come with 3 per gun,
which is
nice. And then the one in one Gun Broker, the guy actually had 5. He had bought 2 extra in addition to what it came with.
Good deal. Well, Bruce, I appreciate that. Yeah, vote for the cars. Like I say, I like them. I like the trigger pull on them. If you like a good, smooth, double-action revolver trigger pull, that's kind of what it feels like. And there's an argument to be made for that over a striker-fired. I mean, some people say, I just don't like the striker-fired. But if you don't want, if you like that, but you don't, it's like if you're like me, I don't really want a thumb safety on a striker-fired gun. It's just my thing. The car may be kind of that sweet spot for you. And, yeah, the 40s are great. There's nothing in the world wrong with that. Hey, when we come back, we'll talk about your guns, my guns. If there's a gun that you want to tell me about, 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. Be right back.